As of right now, we are at war.
How desperate are you? You call on such lost creatures to defend you.
How desperate am I? You threaten my world with war. You steal a force you can't hope to control. You talk about peace and you kill because it's fun. You have made me very desperate. You might not be glad that you did. There was an idea. Bring together a group of remarkable people, see if they can become something more. Like the battles that we never could.
Welcome to Fury's Finest, a podcast about Marvel Crisis Protocol and the Marvel Universe. My name is Jesse Aiken. I joined, as always, with Chris Bruffett. How are you doing today, Chris?
Jesse, I'm doing awesome, man. I am just riding the high off of some games that we got in a few days ago. I got to play a new-to-me affiliation, though not new to the community. Got to play one of my favorite characters in Marvel, period. And he was awesome. So I played Guardians of the Galaxy at a little round robin that we did here in Tulsa.
That's right.
Beta Ray Bill was just the keystone of
every
game.
Star of the show.
Star of the show. Incredible. Star in his role. It was awesome. He was throwing people. He was dishing damage, staying alive. He was getting to where I needed him to be every time. And you know, Jesse, that large base that he is on, or it's a medium-sized base, but that larger than normal base, you know, coming off the spider foes, I'm very, very well accustomed to how that base moves around the field.
Yes.
And I found that using Bill felt like putting on a well-worn, you know, pair of tennis shoes.
Very good.
It was awesome, man. I really enjoyed him. Even got some good use out of Scuttlebutt on me in my game 3.
Ah, very good. Well, yeah, you and I played a game. I mean, round robins truly are the greatest because it's as clean as you can get for a tournament where it's just like everyone played everyone. There's no issues with like SOS or buys or anything. It's just like, it's very clear. Everyone played everyone. And, you know, like, where everything lies at the end of the day is as clear cut as you can be. And I have also been trying new teams, new things, as the listeners that maybe are part of our Patreon know, because I've been talking about an After Dark some, and I did in those episodes recently with Charles. But, you know, I know that this year is going to have a lot of me in the future tense, practicing, refining, slamming games with my primary teams. That being, you know, X-Men, Shield, and Convocation. And this is an active respite period. It's been great. It's double featured, Chris, because I'm taking a break from playing my primary teams and, you know, just enjoying the game and it being less serious, like practicing maybe a roster coming for a big event or something. But at the same time, I'm also playing teams that I've never played, which are clearly holes in my armor and things I need to learn about the game. Things I want to learn for you listeners at home too, to provide better content here. So it's like, it's all like all encompassing where it's like, I'm taking a break from my primary teams, but then at the same time, I'm just learning stuff constantly because I'm playing Cabal the first time ever. I'm playing Hydra the first time ever. I'm playing Mystique Brotherhood the first time ever. Sometimes all three of those are in one roster and, you know, I have options to just learn all of them simultaneous, try to figure it out.
That's a lot of options to think through every game. I do not envy you there, but of course, you are a master at that kind of thing. Turn zero, turn one, just awesome. So that it's really playing to your strength. So good job there. But I got to point out one thing.
Okay.
Those are all bad guy teams.
Yeah, they
What's
are.
What's up? Are you leaving the Jedi Order here, Jesse?
No,
are you
not at all? I'm still the Jesse. Hopefully, you all know and love. Good guys, lawfulness, you know, morality, all these things are still here. But it's in order to fill the holes in my armor. I clearly need to go to the things I know and have played the least, and characters I like the least in Marvel too. Let's be frank. Some of these pure villains. It's been fun. It's been really fun to play though, Chris. I mean, not to discredit these teams I'm playing, because certainly there's a lot of nuance to playing them correctly. And the Mystique Brotherhood comes to mind as a team. Really, you've got to play at a certain level that's just necessarily different and unintuitive sometimes, but very strong if you play at that level. But I talked about this on After Dark too, but playing these attrition bad guy teams recently has been a really nice mental break for me and has reduced the mental load of my normal teams. Cause, you know, weirdly, my three primary mental teams have a very high mental load, which is X-Men, Gold, Standard, Wide Shield.
And
Convocation. And all those have just a crazy mental tax of all the possibilities you could do every turn and which direction and which path you go down. And did you go down the right path? And that led down other paths and stuff. And
you've got a real affinity for string theory lists, don't you?
I do. And I also like lists that reward, you know, high level play and thinking and practice. And those teams certainly do that. But taking a break from that has been nice. And it's just been nice to say, oh, I charge with Baron Zemo. You know, and it's like, I'm not really playing a ton of Zemo, as Chris has played more Zemo than me. And it's like things like that, where it's just like, oh man, it's just so intuitive. I know what to do, you know, with these attrition characters at the given times. And, you know, a big thing about attrition too, Chris, is it's not all gas. You know, there's a lot of times where you just like double move someone to a point, you know, that clearly could be double attacking. So there's a lot of nuance to it too, but it has been a nice mental break and, playing a little bit simpler characters and simpler teams that are more straightforward. I say more straightforward. It's like, you know, Mystique gives you that first class all game. Malekith, when you kill stuff, you get the Malekith Sam trigger. And then, of course, Red Skull Hydra, which is what I've been leaning on. But I also have Strucker Hydra, which is definitely more complex. Red Skull Hydra is like, are you playing the game well? Are you playing the game? Okay, then you get more power in the power phase. So it's all just very like, it's a cleaner, straight, more straightforward game than like, what's the perfect Storm Hop? What's the perfect Ironbound Books? What's the perfect, you know, Eye in the Sky play and all this stuff. So that's been a nice change of pace for me. And don't worry, I'm not going to the dark side, but I am learning about my enemies, you know, these villains that come against my hero teams and how to play them and hopefully how to play against them better, you know. It's been no secret to anyone that's listened to the podcast for some time now that I just really do love playing Master Red Skull. And I feel like I've gotten to a point where I just always know what to do with Master Red Skull and whatever list he's in. And that definitely took some time and some practice. And it's fun playing him in bad guy teams and not good guy teams. So that feels more thematic and right. But we're not talking about bad guys today, Chris. We're not talking about Guardians today, even though recently we got off of our Inhumans path and we were kind of talking non-Earth dwelling people. But today we're getting back to some classics. We're getting back to some of the classic original good guys of MCP. We're going to be talking Avengers for the next couple primary episodes of the show. And Chris, what do you know? There's been a lot of Avengers that have come out since we covered Avengers. Most importantly, and most notable Avenger that's come out since we've last covered the Avengers is Sam Wilson, Captain America, the second leadership of the Avengers in the game. Rounding out all three of our leaders for the Avengers, we will be caught up on Avengers leaders after this because we did do Hulkbuster. And I'm excited to talk about Sam Wilson today.
Fury's Finest is supported by Mr.Laser.Square.Site and DiscountGamesInc.com. Please check out either and both for all your non-local gaming store Marvel Crisis Protocol needs.
Our patrons support Fury's Finest at Patreon.com/Fury's Finest. If you enjoyed the show and would like to support us and join our Discord community, check out the Patreon and check out the tiers and find the one that's right for you. We take this time to thank all of our patrons for their support. Of course, you can join the Discord as low as $1 a month for the entire year. It's a insane value because we've got a great community there. And I think the community itself, the value it brings separate from the podcast entirely, is worth the Patreon. But there's other tiers that are a little bit higher than that $1 that give you more benefits, like things like the After Dark feed, where we post a bunch of additional episodes that are all sorts of content, kind of what we're doing behind the scenes, what kind of list we're running, stuff like that. But Chris, we have a patron of the week to thank this week.
We do. We want to send a very, very special shout out to our patron of the week, and that is Brian. Brian, thank you so much for joining the Patreon. You really help keep things going, and we appreciate you.
Well, Chris, it's a big day. I say this every time we get a new Avenger producer, but I mean, this is a big deal, right? Every time we get a new Avenger producer, we want to make sure that it's this person's given their due. And of course, you will hear this person's name every episode here onward, as long as they're Avenger producer. But Chris, it turns out one day I was checking our Patreon and our Discord, and somebody big rolled up, and they rolled up just from no patronage at all to a full-on producer.
It was a very fun day, very lively day.
It was lively. The Discord got lively.
Well, it was already lively anyway. I mean,
yeah, honestly. That's just how it is, which is great. But of course, I'd be remiss if we didn't mention who this wonderful person was. It is Charles. That's Omnis from Omnis Protocol. Charles is now a Avenger of the podcast. And wow, thank you, Charles.
Thanks, man. It really does mean a lot, dude. But of course, Jesse, we have our other Avenger level producers that we've got to thank. And this thank is no less heartfelt and no less serious than the ones that went out to Brian and Charles. Got to send out our thank yous to Rusty, Dylan, Rich, Jason, Puyon, and now Charles.
That's right.
Thank you so much, Avenger producers.
Yeah, we cannot do the show without you guys. We say it every episode, but we really do mean it. You guys keep us going. Every patron keeps us going, and the Avengers pull a lot of weight for the entire community, keep us everything going with the show. So big deal. Thank you so much, Charles. Like, it really does mean a lot. It's just funny because I just had the recording episodes with Charles, and then, you know, this is all together. But Charles is a dear friend, and it means a lot when our close friends like this decide to support Chris and I. You know, shout out to Puyon. We talked about this recently. You guys mean a lot to us. So thank you for all you do, and we'll keep doing what we do.
That's right.
All right, Chris, let's get over to Sam Wilson, Captain America lore.
That's right, Jesse. This week, we are talking about none other than Sam Wilson, Captain America. Of course, everyone's familiar with him as Sam Wilson, the Falcon, but today we're going to mostly focus on his run as Captain America. And like we do every week, we're going to ask the question, who is this character? Jesse, Sam Wilson is an interesting and complex character. His story outside of comics, as far as just the decisions behind the character and the whys and things like that, is almost as exciting, maybe more exciting than his role in comics. But I don't think we're going to focus on that entirely today. I want to keep you guys focused more on the in-universe kind of stuff. He does represent a lot of different things, but most notably with his run as the fourth person to wear the Captain America mantle, if I'm correct here. And if I'm incorrect, I'm sure I'll hear about it. But he is the first that is from a minority group. So he does represent this kind of all new, all different push for diversity. He is a little different in that he's not a new character. They kind of promoted an old character into the mantle of Captain America, you know? Well, it's much like they did with Bucky, right?
Yes, which in some ways is, like, I think cooler. Like, I think Sam and Bucky being Cap, I just think it's very cool. Because, I mean, we're going to get into it today in lore, Chris, but I think very fitting guys to take up the mantle, of course.
Oh, absolutely.
For numerous reasons.
I'm a big fan of, I mean, let me put this correctly. These characters have been around, especially characters like we're talking about right now, Captain America, Superman, things like that, have been around for forever.
Yeah.
And how are you going to keep them new and fresh? It's okay. It's okay for Captain America to not always be Steve Rogers, for it to be more of an idea, more of a mantle that kind of gets passed on through time in comics to kind of keep stories fresh and keep things a little more relevant rather than, you know, this character that's going to be being written in Marvel Comics for, you know, not too long from now. It's going to be 100 years. So I'm cool with things. I'm cool with things moving a little bit.
It's a big deal. And I think, Chris, like, this is our, correct me if I'm wrong, but on our show, I believe this is the first time we have done a character that is a well-established character in Marvel that takes up the mantle of another character. And I don't know, I find it very super cool, but obviously new ground for us on the show, because Sam is the Falcon, but then he takes up the mantle of Captain America. Like you said, we're going to touch on Falcon briefly today, of course, because it's part of the character, but this is very unique for even for us on the show. It's just a unique circumstance in general, which I find very cool altogether.
Right. And We've had this on the show with like Bucky, where he's been other, you know, he's had the mantle of Captain America. And even with Steve, he was Nomad for a while. Right. I think we talked about that.
But Bucky, like in the game.
Exactly. So with the Winter Soldier, difference here is, yeah, we don't have Sam Wilson.
Not yet. Yeah.
We've got Captain America, Sam Wilson. And that is, I mean, it might be the time that he was most famous and most pop culturally known, but it's definitely not, you know, as far as how long the character's been around, it's not what he's massive. Done most of.
Yeah, as Falcon's repertoire, yeah massive
it's,
thing.
It's pretty interesting stuff. But Jesse, let's talk about Sam Wilson's superpowers just a little bit. And it's not going to take us long because there's not many. We'll get to it in lore here in just a second. But for the most part, his only true superpower is kind of this bond with Red Wing and
greatest superpower ever.
The friends we made along the way.
I'm the animal lover, Jesse here. But I mean, this is the superpower I've always wanted my entire life, you know?
Well, I want to talk to animals, of course, but I don't know about birds. Birds seem like jerks. Yeah, I'm anti-bird. I just decided.
I guess Chris is anti-bird. Wow.
I'm going to get us canceled somehow.
I love the Raptor family, especially.
I knew you were a Toronto fan.
Yeah, it's true.
So, I mean, okay. And he comes about this through, interestingly enough, the Cosmic Cube and Red Skull kind of messing with him in his origin story. But it's kind of this more broad telepathic connection to birds. You know, it's interesting. It's kind of an Aquaman type thing without being as used or as useful.
But in particular,
he and Red Wing are bros, dude.
Yeah, that's the widespread part. But then him and Red Wing actually have a different understanding that's even deeper than the Aquaman level communication.
He considers Red Wing one of his best friends.
Yeah, for sure.
Steve Rogers and Red Wing are his two best friends.
And of course, you know, you might be familiar with Red Wing from the MCU, which is a robot, a drone.
This is a real live Falcon.
And yeah. Red Wing is a real like red-tailed Falcon, classic Raptor bird. And yeah, I mean, Sam's buddy, right?
Absolutely. And he helps Sam quite a bit in combat. Speaking of combat, Sam Wilson is a very highly skilled hand-to-hand combatant. He's proficient in judo. He's proficient in karate, trained by Steve Rogers in both.
Tracks.
For a baseline human, he is, you know, we talk about it all the time.
Black Widow level, yeah.
Bingo. Olympic level athlete. You know, he's LeBron James out there. Can't stop him. Only hope to contain him, except for the fact that he's not superpowered. So, but he is, I mean, he'd beat you or I up pretty easily.
For sure.
He also has those wonderful vibranium wings. They're also light-based wings at some points. Just depends on what era of Falcon we're kind of talking here. But usually they are designed by T'Challa himself, given to Sam as a gift, as they are kind of buddies from the early, early days. Of course, T'Challa being one of the first prominent Black characters in Marvel, but Sam Wilson actually the first prominent African-American character in Marvel Comics.
Also, Chris, I mean, you mentioned it while we're here. I mean, not a superpower, but part of his superpower is very similar to Tony Stark. Just for the listener who might not know, we should talk about his suit. And you just talked about his wings, but I mean, suit, wings, ability for flight.
Absolutely. His suit is also a kind of, you know, standard level superhero stuff. The suit is top of the line, MacGuffin weave, you know, whatever vibranium mesh, whatever it needs to be. But it is going to aid him, and he's going to have some gadgets, you know, Batman-esque gadgets going on here. But like I said, at the end of the day, he is just a man. He is really good at throwing that shield, though, that vibranium Captain America shield. He's extremely good at that.
While flying in the suit.
Yeah, man. That's pretty impressive.
That's very impressive. Well, in motion with your flight. But when you got Red Wing helping you mark your targets.
Yeah, man. You can triangulate using the eyes of all those birds are watching you fight.
Yep.
Pretty. It's weird.
I love it.
Dude, I think it's got to get explored by somebody like in a weird level, right? At some point. Anyway, We have a couple of different first appearances in comics this week for you. As Falcon, Sam Wilson is going to first appear in Captain America number 117 in September of 1969. And then, of course, his first appearance as Captain America will be in Captain America volume 7, number 25, published December 2014. So this is a little bit more modern than we usually get here on the show, Jesse. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, last decade. And, you know, this occasionally happens with us. I mean, we did Miss Marvel recently, which was great, but more uncommon because we're typically covering characters that have 50-year history, you know, sometimes.
It's true. All right. It's time to dive into the lore, Jesse. Sam Wilson is born in Harlem to two wonderful parents, two active in the community parents. Sadly, they will both be taken from him, not at the same time, a few years apart through criminal activity, as is a running theme through kind of superhero origin stories. This is going to lead him. He's also going to have some experiences with racism through his teens, and he's going to find himself to be a pretty jaded young man with all of this. But he's going to come out of that. He's going to be inspired by his parents. He's going to grow up and become a social worker and kind of become that, strive to be that community leader that his parents were during his early childhood. He is going to find himself on a deserted island. And on this deserted island, he's going to be held captive by a group known as the Exiles. And the Exiles at this moment are kind of in league with the Red Skull. And on this island, the native inhabitants have been enslaved for the Exiles' nefarious purposes, as well as Steve Rogers, kind of I think he's in Red Skull's body or a fake body at this point, something wild. And he and Sam Wilson are going to kind of link up on this island. They're going to lead this kind of revolt and free the island. And what do you know? The Falcon is born. And it is on this island that Red Skull will use the cosmic cube to kind of mess with Sam, rewrite Sam. And this has been toyed with a couple different times through his, 50-year history now?
Yeah.
He has. But what we're kind of settled on now is that this is where he gets his powers to talk to birds telepathically. This is where he also gets this set of memories placed there by the Red Skull of this alternate version of himself called Snap Wilson, who would become a mobster after the unfortunate death of his parents and his jaded childhood. For a while, this was the accepted backstory, but we have the beginning to the run-up of Sam Wilson becoming Captain America. Rick Remender, one of my favorite comic book writers, would retcon this and kind of turn it into what we see today, where it is these kind of implanted memories where Red Skull is going to kind of be messing with Sam Wilson and try to turn him to be an agent of the Red Skull or an agent of Hydra later on, which, you know, as we will see and as we have seen, he will successfully do with Steve Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
So Falcon will become a member of the Captain America kind of cast. He will become part of the Captain America family, a sidekick for a long time. He will get his own comic solo series a couple of times throughout the years. Neither really do well. Nothing making it past issue 8, really. As the Falcon, anyway. He does, of course, do much better in sales as Captain America. So in the lead up to becoming Captain America, Steve Rogers is going to lose the super soldier serum. It's kind of gets sucked out of him by a supervillain, and he is going to rapidly age and become his actual age. His body will actually reflect the age he is, which is a man in his 90s. You know, still physically fit and things, but he is not at peak physical condition any longer. And it doesn't take long for Steve to realize that he's no longer going to be able to be Captain America be that symbol. So he passes the shield on to the best man he knows. And that, of course, is Sam Wilson, his longtime friend, colleague, sidekick. Sam doesn't necessarily embrace everything immediately, but of course will eventually become Captain America. And it's really, I think this Captain America run with Sam, it starts with Rick Remender and will be continued post Secret Empire by Nick Spencer. And it is really just a very fun time. It touches on a lot of heavy stuff. It is fairly political, as of course any story revolving around Sam Wilson in the modern day, I think, is going to be, just given what he represents as far as Marvel's first African-American character, kind of first superhero of color from America, and just the story natures that he's been kind of involved in. I think we were going to get that no matter what. And of course, that's going to rub a lot of people the wrong way, but I don't think that applies too much to our listenership, Jesse. It is a pretty fun run, and it's going to have a lot of callbacks to the old school Captain America runs, including one of my favorites, and that is Werewolf Cap. Sam Wilson will become a werewolf, which is awesome. He's also going to get his own, you know, kind of core, his own group around him, supporting cast that is going to involve, that is going to include Misty Knight, which is going to be her kind of return to prominence for the first time since the 80s, I do believe, will be in this run, and she's used really well. Sam will acquire his own sidekick named the Falcon, a young man named Joaquin Torres, who, unlike Sam, his DNA is merged with that of a falcon. He is a human falcon chimera.
Whoa.
Pretty interesting. And a lot of the nature of the storytelling in this run, too, is going to be Sam struggling with public life. Of course, being not superpowered, he's more of a street-level hero as Captain America. Okay. His level doesn't... The zoom on his focus doesn't go out when he gets the shield. He still stays street level. And that kind of, but with this increased notoriety, he's going to get some more powerful enemies. He's going to start seeing himself targeted by, you know, corporations and dark money, which will be swaying the public against him, which will lead to a lot of interesting questions. And of course, throughout this, we will have the evil Hydra, Captain America, posing as a friend, kind of pulling the strings and setting up Sam to fail, which will lead to Sam rejecting the shield, which will lead into Secret Empire. So a few more characters that are going to kind of show up here, and we're going to get, he's going to deal with Flag Smasher. He's going to deal with one of my favorite villains that we need in MCP, the Armadillo. I mean, not an actual favorite villain, but you know, just, he's a fun D-list character.
D-Man
is back. Demolition Man is back. Of course, the character you've never heard of was originally introduced as a Wolverine ripoff just to try to get sales based on the fact that he looks like Wolverine. Remender kind of brought him back, repurposed him as a member of Sam Wilson's supporting cast, which was pretty fun, pretty cool. It's between Remender and Nick Spencer, it's going to maintain a decent sense of humor throughout some pretty serious topics. Really, really good run on Captain America. Nick Spencer's whole run, honestly, is really fun. I don't necessarily think he nailed everything perfectly, but it is very fun and very good. And Jesse, I don't want to get into too much specifics because honestly, guys, it's not that hard to... This is not many issues. He was not Captain America for two terribly long. So I would encourage you to just go out there and read it.
Yeah. And another thing you've been talking about lately, Chris, a lot on our show, because some of this has come up, we don't want to delve too much into Secret Wars followed by Secret Empire and all that, where it's like,
no,
there's a lot of recent content that we want you to read it. I want to read it too, like stuff that I'm missing from it. And Sam spends a lot of time during that Secret Empire kind of gap of time, which clearly Chris is not covering today, because it's like there's some cool stuff there. And you know, all ties are in with Sam Wilson a lot, because you know, the Avengers during that time period and Sam being a prominent piece all facets of the story, you know?
Well, and yeah, and he's going to become a leader in this time, as naturally Captain America should. He's going to have some romances. He's going to feature prominently in the Jane Foster Thor, the Mighty Thor.
Right.
You know, and it, just a lot of good stuff. But Jesse, I think we need to talk about him a little bit in the MCU.
Yeah, and we say a little bit. Sam is getting much bigger in the MCU day by day, which is very exciting. So
yeah, it hasn't peaked yet. I think
we're still going. Yeah,
I think he's got a lot more to do before he bows out of his MCU contracts.
So Sam Wilson, Captain America, or Sam Wilson, the Falcon, obviously both characters are played by the wonderful and enigmatic Anthony Mackie. I love this man so much. This guy is, man, did they get a perfect fit for Falcon and later, you know, setting him up to be Captain America. It's like that much future proofing. And, you know, Anthony Mackie is a perfect fit. And he starts very early in Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier. And then, of course, he's in Age of Ultron, Avengers Age of Ultron. He's an Ant-Man. He's in Captain America Civil War. He's in Avengers Infinity War, Avengers Endgame. He's mentioned in Spider-Man Far From Home and Black Widow. And of course, he has now done the Falcon and Winter Soldier show, which of course Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan both star in, that involves Sam and Bucky. And now, you know, they are finishing, Chris, in post-production and stuff like that, Captain America New World Order. That's going to be the next Captain America movie that, of course, stars Sam Wilson, which is a very cool thing. And, you know, he's made little pictures and appearances and mentions and things like WandaVision, Loki, Miss Marvel, She-Hulk. And, you know, so Anthony is all over the place right now, which is amazing.
Yes.
And it's only going to get bigger, as Chris said, because we're going to start with this Captain America New World Order. And then we're going to have like all this all new, all different stuff with Sam leading the Avengers. And of course, the Kang Dynasty stuff, which of course, Sam will be a prominent piece in that too, because they're going to have him being in some sort of a leadership role during the Avengers. And I'm excited for all of it.
It should be fun. And, you know, I do have a quick question. What is your favorite Falcon role? What movie or show do you think they nailed his role the best?
Ooh, out of the MCU?
Yep, out of the MCU.
We might go tried and true here, but it might be his first appearance. It might be the Winter Soldier when he's Falcon and that relationship and that friendship with Cap, you know, where they just show it. That's literally where their phrase "on your left" comes from.
Yep.
Which of course is a massive moment in Endgame when Sam says "on your left" to Cap. Yep. And so it's like, it might be that. I did like seeing him pick up the mantle on Falcon Winter Soldier, even though the show did not work for me as a whole. And I've talked about this on this very feed many times. I thought he was a great Cap in the show, even though it was very short lived and a very much a tease for the future. Cause I mean, he basically just, no spoilers here, but I mean, he's not Cap till the end. They talk about that in the pilot onward, but that's a sticking point of the show. But I think anything with him and Cap or him and Bucky being center stage is prominent for me. So, you know, even stuff like Civil War, Sam actually gets a lot more screen time. And in particular, in Civil War, they pair him with Bucky a lot. And him and Bucky are kind of like a duo doing stuff. Obviously setting up Falcon Winter Soldier for the future, but that stuff is premium.
Civil War is my pick for favorite Falcon movie, okay, so with Falcon.
We're kind of rounding it out here. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that dynamic between the two kind of future Captain Americas. I really love that.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Yeah.
The two guys worthy of picking up the mantle, but they're both worthy in completely different ways.
Completely different ways. Yeah. They balance each other out in different ways too. Yeah.
Oh, they absolutely do.
But Civil War, obviously Civil War is a hype moment for me, Chris, because I'm a Peter Parker fanboy, but it's like that's Tom Holland's first appearance in the MCU as Spider-Man, and Tom Holland fights Bucky and Sam pretty easily. He doesn't even know what he's doing, and he's easily beating the two of them, and they're actually grumbling with each other like, we can't beat this kid. And
Bucky has no excuse.
Right. But I mean, just a great scene where it's like, it is peak MCU humor, where sometimes the MCU goes way too far in humor, but it's like using Peter Parker in that way, that is peak MCU humor, where it's like Bucky punches young Tom Holland, Peter Parker, and he just catches his fist. He's like, wait, you have a metal arm? That is so cool. And he's like, but his spider strength, he like easily throws Bucky away. He web lines Sam against the wall. And then they're like, and Bucky's like, we couldn't beat this kid. And Sam's like, I hate you. Like, they're just like, we didn't even work as a team. But it's really good. Just setting up more of their relationship. And like you said, these guys that are clearly going to take up the mantle in the MCU at different times, probably in the future. I love it. And, you know, they're on the Sam train, man. I mean, now Disney has some Marvel-themed stuff at their parks and yeah. cruises and stuff. And Anthony Mackie is even playing Sam on those rides, on those roles, on those cruises, footage for that. So it's like, they're all in on Sam right now. And it's really cool. And I think, what a cool story, you know, Anthony Mackie coming all the way from a movie like 8 Mile in 2002, all the way now to MCU. He's come a long way and,
pretty wild.
Been in some great movies. I mean, if you look up his list of movies, everything he's been in has been great, but it's like to get here is a cool story. And, yeah, man after my own heart. He was also born in Louisiana, like I am. He's a New Orleans boy. And, you know, they incorporated that in his character in the show, which I thought was very cool in the Falcon Winter Soldier show, where his entire family is a small town by New Orleans. They just made a facet of the modern Sam character rather than Harlem. They just were like, let's go more Anthony's culture. And yeah, it's cool. I don't love that there's no Red Wing in the MCU, but I get it. It's the MCU. They wouldn't do Red Wing, but maybe they will in the future. Maybe Sam will have a pet bird in the future, but very extensive Sam character list, and of course this movie list, and of course this will grow in the future, Chris, so can't wait. But that's it for our MCU discussion, Chris, and closing out our lore like we always do, we need some Sam Wilson comic book recommendations.
Well, I've got some good ones. The first one being All New Captain America by Rick Remender. It's going to be an easy 6-issue read for you, and then it's going to start building into the Avengers kind of standoff stuff, which will lead into Secret Empire. But you don't have to read all that. Just read All New Captain America. It's really, really wonderful. And then, of course, just go ahead and read Captain America by Nick Spencer, Volume 1. I think it's one of the premier, not everyone's going to agree with me on this one. I think it's one of the better Captain America runs of all time. So, and it's happened more recently. So I think that's very good. The last time I got to talk about Captain America, it was all about Ed Brubaker, you know, and
it's true.
We have been given more gifts. The Ed Brubaker runs are still absolutely fantastic, and you should read them if you have the time and energy and desire. But yeah, this is for those of you looking for something else or more or different. Here it is.
Great recommendations, Chris. And of course, you know, I don't think we've said this sometime, but now, shout out to Felix. Him and I have been keeping that comic book recommendation document of Chris's active. It's in the Discord. It's in the Discord community. Everything is there. Every character we've ever done. So this Sam stuff will go right on that list shortly after this is out. If you just want to burn through the list and read all these cool things, you know, that's the place to find everything. And I'm trying to do it, Chris. And, you know, someone who was never a massive Captain America fan myself, like reading that Brubaker stuff, like changed me.
You know? It really does change your perception of the character. It really does give you more of that insight to that nomad side of Steve Rogers, you know, when he ditched the Captain America mantle and struck out as nomad without the backing of the U.S. government or anything like that. And of course, that's when we get John Walker, we get U.S. Agent, who is going to show up in this Nick Spencer run. I'm telling you, man, it's all good stuff. Like, this is all good stuff. This is these are the reasons we read comics. You know, there are not everything can live up to this, but this kind of long form storytelling that these creative teams have brought over the years with this character and how they all kind of culminate in this whole Captain America mythos. This is why we read comics, and I just think it's very cool.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's Sam Wilson, Captain America lore. And it's time to move on to Captain America, Sam Wilson in strategy. Starting out very simply, his name is Captain America and his alter ego is Sam Wilson. Maybe in the future, you and I will be doing this again with a Falcon Sam Wilson
episode. I honestly hope so.
I'm sure we will. But let's start off with the fact that he is a three-threat character. He's on a small base. He has a stamina of 5 on his front side and a stamina of 5 on his backside. Very baseline three-threat character. He's a small base with a long move and a size of 2. His defenses are 3 physical, 3 energy, 3 mystic. What are your thoughts just right out the gate, Chris?
He's a little fragile, but I love a long mover. Yep. Absolutely.
Tale as old as time. Chris is going to say it every time, as he should. And we love long movers on the show. And once again, I'll just cut through any sort of pretense or bearing the lead. He's a long mover with flight. So it's like, not only is a long mover, which we absolutely adore. I mean, Mystique is just out of control right now in this game, but he's a long mover with flight, which actually makes a big difference in a lot of ways. And we'll see that momentarily with his kit, but he's very mobile, but his defenses are very average. His health is very average. He is fragile.
He is. He's very susceptible to being dove by some damage characters or picked off at range by some mages perhaps, but which is kind of a bummer because you can potentially lose an extremely good affiliation leadership.
Very much so. But Chris, we're going to read his two attacks real quick because he only has two, and then we'll get into all these cool superpowers. His first attack is a physical attack called Shield Throw. It's going to look very similar to some things we talked about in the show before. It's a range 4, strength of 4, 0 power cost attack. After the attack is resolved, Sam Wilson gains 1 power. Yes, it's a gainer, which means I love it.
Yeah.
Stack ignores line of sight, and the defending character does not benefit from cover. So keep in mind, this is one of those few instances in the game where even you have things that give you cover, like special cards or something like Rocket, where this character always benefits from cover. This gets around things like that. So 4 dice, not very much, but that is a very powerful effect. No line of sight, no cover. And there's more clauses. If this attack deals damage and the target character is size 2 or less, after the attack is resolved, the target character may be pushed away from Sam Wilson short. You will also trigger a ricochet on a wild, exactly the same as Steve's shield throw. After the attack is resolved fully, Sam Wilson may make an additional shield throw attack. This attack must target another character within 3 of the original target character and any distance from this character. The additional attack does not have the ricochet special rule, so you will never trigger ricochet over and over again. It's just one time. But that makes the range on this shockingly far and scary.
Yeah.
Also, Chris, I will mention while we're here, the wild is so powerful because even if you don't do good on the first attack damage-wise, even if you don't do good on the second attack damage-wise, you did the gainer twice because of the ricochet. So the ricochet is a weird way to give you a free another gainer attack, which now gave you 2 power, which turned some things online.
He does have some pretty decent ways to spend some power. And let's talk about the first one. It is his second attack. It is a physical attack. It is Red Wing Assault. Range 3, the strength of 6, power cost of 4. If this attack deals damage and the target character is size 3 or less, after the attack is resolved, the target character may be thrown away from Sam Wilson, Captain America, short. Love a throw.
Yeah.
I love that the size went up by 1 from the shield throw.
Yes.
But, Jesse, that's not all. After this attack is resolved, place this character within range 2 of its current position. So you get a push if you get damage through, or you get a throw, which is potential damage on another character.
Yes.
But you also get a little bit of extra movement for Sam after the attack is done, which is never bad.
You get a nice, pretty strong teleport on yourself. So very cool. I mean, it's more mobility on top of a character who has mobility. Also keep in mind, listener, we say it every time, but it is helpful to know when you're learning MCP and playing MCP. Anytime you have a place, it ignores, you know, terrain, wall crawler, flight, all that stuff. So it's just more mobility to get around stuff. And it's very cool. But yeah, you're going to do this less on him because it does cost 4. But I love it. Red Wing's coming in. A lot of stuff's happening to the enemy. It's the full-on assault. All the gadgets are coming out. Red Wing's coming out. And they are being hurt. And they're being thrown away. And then Sam's getting a teleport out of it. So it is all very good stuff that you're willing to pay for. But Sam has some superpowers that cost power that might take that. Because keep in mind, Chris, he does not have a builder at all. He only has a gainer. So that means the only way you're getting power is the power phase, your gainers, and when you take damage. So it's like his spender is a little bit more based off of certain things happening in the game, you know, which is fine.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like something you're looking to do. It's more of a, I've got a ton of power.
Once a game.
Yeah, sort of late thing. Game type stuff like that. Yeah,
absolutely. But I'm excited because I could talk about one of my favorite OG teams I ever played in MCP that I really deep dived into. And I'm going to talk about Sam Wilson's all new, all different affiliation Avengers leadership. So, of course, if you declare Sam Wilson as your leader, you would get this leadership. What's cool, Chris, is once again, we say this all the time, but like, say you played Steve and Sam and even Hulkbuster all on your roster. Let's say you play them on your team. You and your opponent reveal lists against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would decide who your leader was. So it could be Steve, it could be Sam, it could be Hulkbuster, depending on what your opponent played on turn zero. So I found it very cool and very effective and very Avengers, where it's like, okay, who's giving us what tools?
Who's the best person for this job? Exactly.
And everyone else is still going to do their job, but it's like, what leadership and sort of like leader's mindset and playstyle we're going to take for this game. But all new, all different reads like this. When this character or another allied non-grunt character is dazed or KO'd by an enemy effect, choose another non-dazed allied character. After the effect is resolved, the chosen character removes one damage, removes one special condition, and may advance short. A character can be affected by this leadership ability only once per round. So, Chris, this is a leadership that has gone through some changes, subtle over time, but, you know, changes nonetheless. It's a very good leadership. I mean,
yes,
I've played it a ton. All the listeners know this. So you've been listening to the show for some time. It's very strong. It's cool they added the grunt clause, right? Which makes perfect sense.
Yes, it's very good.
That happened like almost immediately.
Yeah.
Also, no longer Bob can trigger this. I know Chris knows I've triggered this with Bob in the past.
Yes, I do.
So Bob can trigger this if you kill Bob, right? But if Bob kills himself with the rocket, you can't trigger this anymore. So there's a subtle change. Obviously, Bob's still going to trigger a ton if you keep killing him over and over again, right? But he can no longer do it on his own command, like when he shoots a rocket and dazes himself, right? So let's talk about this leadership, though. It's such a cool, versatile leadership. It doesn't seem that crazy or dynamic when you read it, but it is very dynamic because when an enemy dazes or KOs one of your models, you get to do other stuff on the table during their turn.
Out of activation and even out of your own turn, movement your own characters is pretty wild and extremely strong.
Yeah, extremely strong. This was our first glimpses of what Shield was going to be.
Yeah.
A Shield is basically this playstyle in a nutshell, which obviously it makes a lot of sense why I like both now. But it's very like, it's tough because it's a tough leadership to like, there's so many options for you as the Sam Avenger player where it's like, do I just want to like heal up one of my tanky characters a little bit and just kind of maybe remove a condition to sit there. I don't even want to move them. I just want to heal them up a little bit. Or do I want to reposition an ally out of harm's way in the middle of my opponent's turn when they thought, oh, they killed Iron Man in front of them and now they're going to attack Hawkeye. Well, now Hawkeye's out of range.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. You can even use this to like trigger certain abilities like Hawkeye's like quick shot and stuff like that, where it's like, oh, now I'm further range from you, so I can trigger my ability on this thing. So it's very nuanced. It's very hard to understand fully. You just got to play it on the table. The special condition part too is also very detrimental for your opponent because it's like, imagine something as powerful as your opponent having a stagger on Hulk, right? And you as the Sam player, you are just completely fine double moving Black Widow into their back line, you know, and saying, yeah. Do you really want to daze or KO her? And if you daze or KO her, she doesn't score now, but guess what? I didn't really care what happened. I just wanted that stagger off Hulk, you know? And now Hulk is unstaggered and he's moved short.
Exactly.
Very scary. Yeah.
So we just gave in this instance.
Yeah. Yeah. You
know, and in many instances, really, there's a lot of characters that can do a free, a short
move.
Really well with a short move into, you know, just double taps or whatever. I mean, there are three threat characters that can do a lot with this affiliation. So it's not just the big boys here, but this thing is really, really useful just kind of down the line.
Absolutely. It's more nuanced, more interesting, more dynamic than you can ever imagine till you've played Sam. And a lot of it's just like your skill as a player paired with this leadership. And like you start kind of seeing the matrix, right? Where it's like,
absolutely.
Oh, it's late game. They killed one of my characters, but I just moved Black Widow away short. And on her turn, I'm going to double move her long into a corner and they will never get that extract. And that might just win me the game, you know, and it wouldn't have won me the game if Black Widow didn't get to move short, maybe. So it's like weird things like that. It's like, just get the mission done, which I find very cool about Sam. It's like Steve is the super powerful, break the game, always works every time, 100% of the time. Everything's no discounted. Who you bring,
almost. Right. There's like one character that doesn't work very well with Steve, I think.
Ant-Man does
yes,
not work
yes, well with yes, Steve. Thank you.
Ant-Man and War Machine don't play well with Steve, but they play well with Sam. But it's also like, Steve is just like, the game is easier for you. Everything is just works better. Sam is like, Sam's leadership is just as strong as Steve, but it's like, the choices are in your hands. What are you going to do? You know, you've got to make a decision every time. Steve is just a blanket discount. And then if you have characters that do stuff on your opponent's turn, also blanket discount on those. Things like Venom, on, you know, Venom can snack back on your opponent's turn with Steve's leadership at a discount, right? So it's like, Sam is just, what choice are you making? And I find it very cool, very dynamic. Still one of my favorite leaderships in the game. Sam's still one of my favorite leaders to play. I haven't played him in some time, but I will be returning to him very soon. And this leadership can give you a lot. And Chris, you did mention like just the power of, yes, the damage removal is strong. Yes, this condition removal is strong. But really, it's all about the short move.
It really is.
That's the primary part.
You get so many more options on positioning. You have a much easier time than someone who's playing fair MCP, overloading those secures and making sure to get those points, especially because the Sam leadership begs to go wide, right? You want to play a lot of characters, and you want to play characters that you don't mind if they get dazed or KO'd, because it just means someone else is moving. So just kind of, I mean, we called it the Sam Swarm early on, and we still do. And yeah, it's very strong. It's very good. And it's a completely different way to play the game from, you know, ways that maybe a brand new to wargaming player would kind of be inclined to do. It kind of forces you to think differently about the game. And I think that's good.
No, absolutely. And the game's changed too, where it's like Sam's leadership is just so solid that like now, it's even less paramount going swarm with him, right? Going wide.
Yes, that's true.
It's just like, oh, the example I just gave where it's like Sam with Hulk. It's like Hulk getting an out of activation short move or a heal or removing a stagger could just win you a game, right? Less triggers in that game because you brought Hulk instead of 2-3 threats, right? So like there's a balance of the wide Sam team. You're going to get more triggers of the leadership, but you're going to be less effective overall because you're just wide weak characters. And then now there's the other Sam that's like a taller Sam that's like less triggers the leadership, but you're giving those tall characters maximum efficiency with their actions, things like that. So it's all very good. It's all very cool, but possibilities are endless. We'll talk a little bit more about Sam in the affiliation discussion, but Chris, we got to move on. I'll read his first superpower here and we'll close out with the rest of superpowers. His first superpower is a classic. It's a active superpower called Charge, cost 2 power. It's also going to cost you an action. So when you take the superpower, when you pay for the superpower, you will take an action. Action. Sam Wilson immediately makes a move action followed by an attack action. The superpower can only be used once per turn. This is one of your main lines of play with Sam, is something along these lines. Move, charge, like charge, where you move, you throw a shield, maybe ricochet, you throw another shield, and then move again. Or something like that, where it's like he's very good at this flighty play, which I find very cool, where it's like he's not really wanting to be heavy in the action, because we've mentioned he's fragile. He wants to be mobile, throw shields, keep the leadership up, give his allies support. We've got a couple ways of support coming up. And yeah, I mean, the classic, I love it. I think the classic Sam move is like move up pretty far with the charge, throw a shield, move back.
Well, charge coupled with this long move is absolutely just nasty. I mean,
it's pretty excellent, right? Zemo all over again.
Absolutely. But we've got flight here. So we're going over those buildings. We're not worried about terrain. We're not worried about most opposing other characters. We are just flying exactly where we want to be with Sam. We're unleashing a shield throw. Hopefully we're getting that ricochet. Maybe we have an extract on us. So you've paid 2 for that charge. You've recouped at least one of those from your range 4 shield throw.
Exactly.
Right now.
Maybe you've recouped both.
Maybe. You ricocheted. Hopefully you've recouped both. That's the dream for every double turn, gainer. Right? For yes, but every turn you throw that shield, you're hoping for the wild and getting that ricochet off. But even if you don't, you've recouped most of what you've spent for your charge and you've got this long move with flight and an attack off, recovered some of the power, if not all the power, and you still have one more action left. The action economy here, it just all works together to be kind of awesome for a 3-threat character.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Chris, you nailed it. This is the bread and butter of Sam's kit. Like, it sounds great when you read it. You're like, this is great. But it's hard to visualize how effective this is on the table. I mean, it is so cool and thematic. Sam can like long move up with this charge action, throw a shield at someone, gain a power back, potentially ricochet, gain another power back, as Chris said, possibly push those characters, and then he can long move again. And it just feels very thematic that he's just flying by, tossing that shield, it's hitting two people, they're getting moved, then he keeps flying. And it's very powerful because you can fly as your second action, just a move action, to somewhere safer. You can get move laterally to the side of the map, or you can move back exactly where you just came from, behind that building, right? You're completely safe. Might be the way to go if you have that extract like Chris talked about. But if you don't have an extract, you can use this as kind of a way to bully some secures, because you can like fly over, push someone off a secure, maybe push a second person off a secure with the ricochet if you get lucky. Fly long over buildings to a side secure that no one was on, right? And now you're scoring and you move to people, and it's very cool. And it's kind of why what we just said in the episode, kind of why Red Wing Assault is rarely used.
Yeah.
Because your biggest plays with Sam are charge in this next superpower. And it's like,
I was going to say, yeah. maybe use that charge to set up. You run up, you know, you go on to that objective. You push a couple opposing characters off of that objective because you are throwing rocks today.
That's right.
Recover that power. And then what are you going to do, Jesse? You're going to use the next superpower. It is a reactive superpower. It is airlift. It will cost you 2 power. During Captain America, Sam Wilson's activation, when he begins a move action within range 2 of another allied character of size 2 or less, he may use this superpower. After this move action is resolved, place that allied character within 2 of its current position. The superpower can only be used once per turn. So, you know, it's not drop off or anything like that, but this is a free out of activation range 2 move on a 3-threat leader.
It's cool.
It's really cool. And not, like I said, coupled with charge, coupled with that long movement, this is some really cool action economy manipulation that this character offers.
Yeah, it's no lockjaw teleport.
Right. It's more subtle, not as obvious, and harder, maybe a little harder to pull off. But
yeah,
if you're running a Sam Wilson Avengers style list, maybe the old school Sam Swarm.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you've got tons of characters everywhere to land within 2 of. So, you know, just a thought. It seems to all work in concert in a really interesting and fun way.
No, absolutely. And if you have any sort of turn 1 shenanigans or cards or leaderships that give you more power on Sam Wilson round 1, you could potentially even do this round 1 to get a more powerful slow piece further up the board. And we will talk about that more in affiliations. But Chris, closing out his card, he has 2 more superpowers. One of them we've been talking about a lot this whole episode is the innate keyword flight. But he does have 1 more reactive superpower. It's called the Vibranium Shield. It's going to look kind of familiar. Costs 2. When this character is targeted by a physical or energy attack, he may use this superpower. Add 2 dice to this character's defense roll against the attack. Nowhere near the capability of Steve, who already has better defenses. Sometimes he's counting blanks on his defenses. But
he's a super soldier, man. He's got the serum.
Yeah.
Sam is a mortal man. And I think
that's exactly it.
I think that this is a good way to kind of represent that. I think it's cool.
Yeah, and we know the defense dice this game are bad. They're much worse than the attack dice.
Unless you're me this last weekend.
But this does feel pretty good if you're topped off on power. And it's just kind of those no-brainer things. Like if you're topped off on power and say you're in cover, you're like, okay, I'm going to use this and like guarantee I get some cover, like, you know, dodge the skull curse of cover.
Yeah, man.
And maybe get some extra blocks out of this and just keep Sam alive because he's extremely fragile. I mean, that is his biggest weakness. And this doesn't really fix the fragility. This is just a chance the fragility is less bad. So you're going to use it. And in my experience, you use charge the most. You probably use Vibranium Shield the second most and airlift the third most. And guess what, Chris? All these cost 2 and he only has a gainer. So you really do have to manage your power efficiently with him. And once again, this is why Red Wing is probably being used less than even other spenders in the game, because this is like a closer. You know, this is like, oh, you're paying for Red Wing Assault because maybe you just flipped, you got tons of power, or you just want the throw on the character, right? And that's Sam's only throw.
I think we said it earlier, but You're going to use Red Wing Assault maybe once a game.
Yep.
Yeah. Maybe twice a game if it's a wild game.
That would be a wild game. That'd be cool, though.
Yeah, dude. Look, I've done some... I've played those attacks you don't want to play all the time. That's just true. For fun. It's That's fun true. To do. Do it on casual nights, man. That's what this game's about.
Man, I'm determined to find a Red Wing Mini and put it on my Sam.
Heck yes.
Side note. My Sam's already painted, but...
I fully endorse this.
Because this is Comic Sam, right? Like, he has real Red Wing, I think. But that's his kit. It ends with flight. Once again, he's a long mover with flight. So as long as they're not, like, he's going to be ignoring all buildings, unless you have that random size 6 AMG talks about in the rule book, which never, hardly ever comes up.
No, thank you.
They said something like a pyramid or an obelisk or something, which makes perfect sense. But
all right, my next board is the Eiffel Tower.
There you go. Sorry, Sam. Fly around it. But yeah, Chris, this character is super cool. He is deceptively awesome. Like, the shield throw is amazing. Like, no cover, only 4 dice, but no cover and no line of sight. And the gainer and the size 2 push if you deal damage. And then that lucky, lucky chance of getting the ricochet and hitting someone else. It's awesome. And
gross.
His mobility is out of control. And obviously, we talked about the power of the leadership. So we do need to move on and talk about Sam's tactic card, Bird of Prey. And oh, yes, Red Wing is referenced here. At least that's what I'm hoping. It's a double reference of Red Wing and Sam, of course.
A double whammy.
Bird of Prey, unaffiliated reactive. When Sam Wilson targets an enemy character that has the flight superpower with an attack, Sam Wilson may spend 2 power to play this card. Sam Wilson adds 3 dice to the attack roll against this character and may reroll any number of attack dice during this attack. If the attack deals damage, the enemy character loses the flight superpower until the end of this round. Very, very cool. Very niche because...
Very niche.
You're only playing this card when you sit down across from an opponent that has characters with flight in the roster, and you're bringing this as a hedge against those characters. Very strong against these characters. This could help you bring down a voodoo, right? Which is a very big deal. But it's like... It's tough. Yeah, 2 power to get 3 dice, reroll all. That's nuts. That is very strong. And take away its flight is just a neat little factor added onto that. But niche cards are tough. This is absolutely a kitchen table card every time. Tournament card, you're going to have a hard time finding the space for this, Chris, because that simple scenario of, did I roll the craps dice right? Oh, my opponent didn't bring that flight character I thought they're going to bring. Now I have a dead card in my hand. That hurts.
Yep. It absolutely does hurt. And with that being said, sometimes you just know that they're going to bring a flight character.
You're playing Sentinels? Okay.
I'm telling you, man.
You know, like,
I know that you shouldn't, if you go to a tournament and have any hope of wanting to win, you probably should not have this card in your 10, but probably not. But look, if you did, I would not I would not call you crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there are just some games where you look at their 10 and you know this is going to be an awesome card. And otherwise, you just leave it home. But that's that's kind of the argument, right? Is there are probably cards you could bring that will make more of an effect and you bring maybe even more often or just as often as this one. So it's tough, but this does give Sam Wilson a little bit of an edge. And it's a really cool way to kind of show his aerial combat prowess. You know,
yeah,
he trains a lot. That. He's in the air a lot.
And that's fun.
Like lore wise, I think this is really cool. And it can have kind of this Hail Mary, like big effect on the board, right? Let's not act like it's just straight bad.
And I love that he's fighting Green Goblin in this art of this card.
The art's cool.
Like,
yes.
It's because it's like, okay, that's exactly the be a perfect example of a time to use it. Like, you cripple Green Goblin, you either dramatically hurt him or you daze him. And if you dramatically hurt him, you take away his flight for the round. Very cool. Very cool stuff. All right, Chris. Well, it's time to move on to one of our favorite parts of the show. We're going to talk about affiliations. Where do you play Sam Wilson? What are some interesting places you could maybe try him from my Splash Affiliation Corner? And we're going to start off with his affiliated teams first. He's only affiliated with one team in the game. That is the Avengers. Makes perfect sense. He's an Avenger leader. We already talked about how powerful his leadership is, especially in like a wide context or even just a context of value. Like, you're not even going wide. You're just going medium to tall with his build. And you're like, okay, because of Sam triggers, I healed Hulk 4 times this game. right? Like, that is some strong value with his leadership, and it's very good. But let's talk about him and Steve real quick, which is, wow.
Dude, very strong. You're getting what? You're getting
round one charge.
Exactly. Well, or shoot, man. Maybe it's a round one airlift. Yeah, I know it's size two or less. That does kind of change things. You got to find a real powerhouse of a size two. But I'm think, look, Black Swan is a thing, dude.
I know. She's a problem.
Power Swan move with a free range two place before she's activated turn one could be pretty cool.
I love it. No, he's amazing in both Avenger teams. You know, the Hulkbuster team, he's probably okay in that team too, because taking less damage from collisions is good for Sam because he has poor defenses and low health. So, I mean, that also, he's a good team for there. I think he's an Avenger staple. I think you just play him in Avengers all the time because you have the flex of his leadership, but you also have the ability to play him in the other Avenger leaderships. And I think that's very strong. But let's move on to the fun part, Chris. Let's talk about some of my favorite splash affiliations for Sam. Thematically, I've got a couple here, namely at the top, that seem to make a lot of sense to me thematically that I think work also for his kit. And that number for the first roster is Shield.
Oh,
Shield doesn't have a lot of movement. They're slow. They can't chase.
He plays a pretty good role in that affiliation there. Honestly, he is one of the better objective runners.
That's true.
In the game, the only thing he's lacking is stealth, but long move and flight is pretty tough.
You just got to be sneaky, right? You just don't want to get focus fire or anything, but he's helpful in Shield. And I think the theme is right because obviously he's worked with Shield a lot over the years. And I just think it's cool to have a piece that can get around the table easily when Shield can't do that. And the theme really works. And I think try him out. Keeping within that sort of teams he's worked with theme, or he's been adjacent to, A-Force, Chris, is pretty cool because, you know, we've touted and talked about A-Force on this podcast a lot. And it's something that Chris is starting very soon, his journey through A-Force. And a big part of A-Force, it's just ramp. It's just power ramp throughout the game.
Exactly.
And you always have that perfect knowledge of, oh, someone else on my team was hurt. Who do I want to give power? And it's like, well, Sam hasn't gone yet. He has one power. I want to give him another power so he can charge on his turn. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like, it's perfect information of where the ramp's going, what you're doing with it. And he's got some cool synergy with the team too, and some of the things they want to play. But I find it very cool that, like, also he's a good A4 splash because he's also a good secondary leader that you can actually flex to if you get put on a really low threat or something and Shield doesn't cut it.
I mean, the A-Force roster is chock full of Avengers.
100%. So, I mean,
I think that's a really interesting take, something that you and I are going to have to explore in the future whenever my A-Force models are in and painted and things. But so that's a put a pin in that one, dear listener.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Now, moving on to sort of him playing his role, him being the good piece he is. Chris, he's a really good piece in Web Warriors and Wakanda.
I was going to say, I know this is where you shine, Jesse, but I was going to say Web Warriors, kind of an obvious looking fit. If they're glaring to me, that means they're glaring to everyone, because this is not where I shine. But yeah, another long moving... You know, stick and move, can't catch up to them, don't know what to do with them type character for Web Warriors.
Flighty, yeah. He's running away. He's throwing a shield as he's running away from you, knocking you further back, which is creating more distance between you and him. I love it. Web Warriors also love Scoundrels, and he is an awesome piece on Scoundrels because he can get to whatever point he wants to get to and push other people off points and get the benefit of cover on top of a Miles defensive reroll. I absolutely love it. And I think he'd also work really well in Amazing Peter's leadership because he seems the gainer by its nature is guaranteed power. So you always know you can pay for that Amazing Spider-Man slower place. Right? Like, you just know, as long as I throw my shield, I can do X amount of things. So I find that very cool and very strong. And Wakanda is very similar. It's like, it's cool because he's obviously worked with T'Challa and we talked about that today. So I think the theme is right. But also it's like Wakanda is all about just controlling you on all the points and then just like winning the game through scoring, but then they can switch to attrition when they need to. And I think Sam really fits right in that last little bit. Now, closing out, there's two interesting teams I think he fits really well. Let's talk about the first one, which is Spider Foes. So Spider Foes, Sam is really interesting because they do not have a long moving displacement character. So he helps them with that potentially until they get one character like that one day. I hope they do. And man, like Sam's shield throw does get really good with the Oscorp weaponry leadership too, because it's like you have perfect information of what's happening. Reroll that defense dice. And then now you like potentially like actually get through the damage you want to get through to push them that you weren't going to get before, right? That's cool. That is cool.
I mentioned Bird of Prey giving Sam an edge, but yeah, Spider Foes also maybe brings out the malice a little bit in the dear captain, you know, being able being able to get a little bit of extra damage in on those shield throws. That's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
Because with everything else he's providing you, if he's giving you one or two more damage per turn than he usually does, now we're looking at, almost a secondary attrition piece in movement, with just gives you more movement across the board. Your whole team has better movement just because Sam Wilson is on the board. So
I'm all about it.
Interesting, interesting line of thinking there. I like that.
Well, and the Spider Foes leadership is so good, Chris, because you have perfect game knowledge. It's the last step of the modified dice phase. So it's like you can see at the moment, it's like, okay, I'm Sam. I have two damage coming to you, and you have two blocks on your character. Well, Spider Foes reroll one of those, because if you roll into a blank or a skull or whatever, or a hit, now I'm getting one damage sir, and I'm guaranteeing pushing you, right? So it's like,
so awesome.
It's more damage. It's more pushes than Sam normally gets. And I absolutely love that. And I think it's a good fit. Now, closing out, I have the most interesting and probably powerful pick for last.
Oh, I'm excited for this.
It's Inhumans, Chris.
Knew it. I was going to bring this one up if you didn't. Oh my gosh, I have to start talking during the segment with more authority.
That's right.
Oh my gosh, I had this thought as well, because once again, he does everything you want, brings all of that turn one shenanigans with the Inhumans leadership. Yes.
He's a crazy piece. Now, also, this is one of those instances where I was kind of saying you'll favor charge in most scenarios if you have a turn one discount or thing. Maybe not in Inhumans. Maybe in Humans favor the airlift for Black Bolt.
Doing the not obvious thing, the Chris dream. Yes.
Get Black Bolt up that table quicker and get him attacking round one quicker.
Yeah.
It's very strong, but also like just enabling his charge round one is crazy, because you can like move long and then charge long and then maybe push someone off a point and swing like late in round one, and your opponent is just in shock. They didn't score the point they thought they were just going to score. Right. So Sam is a great piece, and the Inhuman leadership, Chris, is just nuts for him, because Lockjaw is always sitting on a ton of power and he's ready to pass it to Sam.
Yeah, exactly. It's really cool. And I mean, wherever Lockjaw is, Sam can still get to almost wherever he wants, but
that's true.
Let's not discount the idea of Sam activating early and just disrupting, you know, getting up there. It's a range 4 attack. He can charge up
and
displace somebody in the deployment zone, knocking them back, disrupting your opponent's turn one plans and plays as well. Not just the you know, last activation point denial thing.
No, absolutely. And you could even also do crazy things, Chris. I mean, I don't know what your plan is within Humans and how wide you go and stuff, but like
8 activation, do it.
Yeah. You with that 8 activation list
with the chess clock, do it.
You could pass all this power to Sam and potentially round one charge and airlift, right? It's a very high order, but like, it's not impossible with some of the things you can do in Humans. So I'm just saying, like, the door is very interesting within Humans because he fits right in. And once again, it's that perfect information. Oh, I'm going to pass a power top of a round. Who's it going to be? Sam might even be passing power a lot, right? Because he's got gainers, right? He can, he can turn on things for Medusa. He can turn on Royal Decree and stuff. So
guaranteed power. Yep.
So just keep that in mind. Very cool place and very fitting after we just finished our Inhumans series. So I will take that as a win. But yeah, Chris, that's it for Sam's strategy. We hope you guys like learn something from this and kind of can apply Sam leadership, obviously, in your games, but also just playing Sam in other places, because he's just really fun and he's got more impact on the table than you would even think reading his card.
Fury's Finest is supported by our wonderful patrons. You can become a Fury's Finest patron by going to patreon.com/Fury's Finest.
Find us online. Find the show on Twitter at Fury's Finest Cast and Instagram, Facebook, and Twitch at Fury's Finest. Leave us reviews on your podcast platform of choice. It really helps us out. Apple Podcast people, we see you. Spotify people, we see you. If any of you double dipped, you're our extra special favorite people, because I know some of you, I do know some of you like to use podcasts on one thing and music on another thing and vice versa. And it's like, if you went out of your way on either one of those or both those, it really means a lot to us to give us 5-star review, and we really appreciate it. We got a lot of reviews on both, Chris. So you guys are out there and it means a lot to us. So keep it up.
Thanks to Approaching Nirvana for the show's music. And like Jesse said, we are constantly humbled and constantly thankful for any little bit of effort you guys put in on our behalf. And I'm sorry that we have to continue to ask you guys to do it, but we do. So, you know, just do it. And then I'll quit having to ask. It was that simple.
Yeah, and a lot of you have asked, like, how can I support the show if I can't financially support the Patreon and join the Discord? And this is the number way you can do it. Subscribe to our show. Leave us a review. Listen. That's the baseline most important stuff. And
seriously.
If you want to go the extra mile and join the Patreon Discord and things like that, you could do so on Patreon and, you know, for like $1 a month or other tiers. So it's completely up to you, and we really appreciate it. Of course, Chris, you can find you and I different places online. You can find me, Jesse, on Twitter, Instagram, and Longshanks at Jesse Aiken. That, of course, is J-A-S-S-E. No I, no Y, no Z, no none of that. And my last name is also spelled differently. It's E-A-K-I-N. So that's just Jesse at Jesse Aiken. Chris, where can everyone find you?
Find me on Twitter at Chris Bruffett, B-R-U-F-F-E-T-T. And there you can find one of the best, most hilarious threads about the X-Men that you will ever see. If you are a minor, don't read it. Not like there's any nudity or anything. It's just got some strong language in there. It's Twitter. But dude, it's so funny.
X-Men is so funny in general. Like
this
melodrama.
But if you read it, I don't want to spoil this for everybody.
I won't.
But like
I'm saying, don't spoil it. Yeah.
I'll. It's so funny, and it's you read it and you're like, oh my gosh, it's so true. It's 100% accurate. It's perfect. It's a perfect joke. It's a perfect Twitter thread.
It's like that meme that I have saved on my phone. Absolutely perfect. It's like the 10 X-Men plot lines, you know?
Yeah, and dude. Yeah.
Scott Summers being upset is like within 5 of those plot lines. Like, it's this part of the
Scott Summers having a bad day. Yeah.
Yeah, Scott Summers having a bad day, being upset. Yeah.
100% true.
Quality stuff. We're talking Avengers, and we brought it back to X-Men as always.
Take a drink.
Welcome to Fury's Finest, or Storm's Finest, as Charles would say. Take a drink. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and we will talk to you very soon. Thanks for listening, true believers.
Excelsior.
The world has gotten even stranger than you already know.
At this point, I doubt anything would surprise me.
$10 says you're wrong.